This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Good morning to you. It's Thursday. It's still National Pizza Week, in case you're wondering. It's going to run all the way to Sunday. I say take advantage. That was a lot of fun on our last show, and I got your tweets and your Facebook posts all the way through the day talking about nothing but pizza. Pizza, pizza, pan, pan. So we're not doing a show on pizza this morning. However, it was fun to see all the various toppings that you used, and also to see you call me crazy for what I put on my pizza. Hey, psst, it's a free country. We're live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studios. Home is more than a house. It's a personal paradise. So get yours with Rocket Mortgage. Push button, get mortgage. Hard to believe that in 2 weeks we will be doing a series of shows from Miami. Why do I feel like it's hard to believe? Because it wasn't that long ago that it was October, and I always get a jump on these things. I was making my reservations for Super Bowl week thinking, oh my gosh, it's months and months away. We're never going to get there. And here we are with only 3 games left in the NFL season. So this is where I start to get kind of wonky about it. I'll be happy to have my Sundays not attached to the football schedule. It'll be okay with me to have a few Sundays that are not quite so hectic. But I go through withdrawals, so to speak, for football and think, no, I miss it, because there's nothing quite like the NFL, as we know. Every other sport is seeing declining ratings, and the NFL's continue to climb. And so I, this hour, want to share with you the numbers from divisional weekend, because they were even better than the numbers from wildcard weekend. And I'm sure for championship weekend, we're going to see them go up even more. If you consider the franchises that are included, and just kind of looking at even last weekend's ratings, the Packers-Seahawks game was by far the highest rated game of the weekend, just astronomical numbers. And to have the Packers now, who are an iconic franchise, go to San Francisco with a massive, well, Santa Clara, but the Bay Area, with a massive fan base there, and it's the first time that these Niners fans have had their team into the NFC Championship in 7 years. Well, 2013 season, so 6 years. And the interest around this franchise all over the place. And then AFC, Patrick Mahomes is a massive draw. And there are thousands and thousands and thousands of fans who are on board now with the Tennessee Titans. And we had a chance to spend some time in Nashville earlier in the show, and it was kind of fun to hear about the buzz and the hype surrounding these Titans, who are now the only wild card team still alive for a spot in the Super Bowl. So if you missed that conversation with our Titans insider from our first hour, it's part of our podcast. We podcast every hour uninterrupted by commercials, and it's fresh every weekday morning after hours, amylawrence.com. You can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio. We also do tweet the link and post the link to our podcast on our social media sites, and our Facebook page is up and available for you. And then our phone number is 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4CBS. I probably should have thought this through a little bit more. We did put a post on our Facebook page, like we're asking you on Twitter, how you would amend the Rooney Rule or maybe do it differently in the NFL when it comes to minority hiring and head coaches. The number has dropped. So going back to 2018, the number was 8 minority head coaches, and now it's cut in half 2 years later. I suspect that simply because it's such high turnover, whether it's minority coaches or just in general, the head coaches, it seems like there's always very high turnover. This year actually was a a quieter year when it comes to the coaching carousel. But, you know, in 2 years, the number might look completely different, or it might be cut in half again. It's such a what have you done for me lately business. Highly competitive with no job security anyway. And it's hard to dictate. So the Rooney Rule applies to head coaches, and it applies to general managers and high-profile front office positions. In my opinion, it should maybe extend to coordinators. But how do you mandate it? You can mandate interviews, but you can't mandate a company unless you're going to do quotas, which we certainly know do exist. But you can't mandate when you're talking about a game of skill like this with so much money invested into it. You can't force a team to hire a particular candidate based on color. I mean, that's racism in and of itself. And so it's a difficult thing to navigate. And I appreciate hearing from Art Rooney, of course, is the son of Dan Rooney, for whom the rule is named, the owner of the Pittsburgh Steelers. His name is on the rule. And he's so thoughtful about potential changes to get better results, because he said, we're not satisfied with the way things are working out.
We'll look at a lot of different things. In fact, this time last year, we made some changes to the Rooney Rule, and we required the interview to come from somebody outside the organization, because we didn't want it just to be an internal situation where somebody down the hall was called down to the office for an interview. So that we changed that rule last year. Obviously, we have to look at what we can do, differently now, and perhaps even expand the Rooney Rule into some of the lower levels, perhaps the coordinator level, just to make sure that the minority opportunities are there.
That's what I think should be the next step. If you're going to expand it, that's the issue. There has to be a better pipeline, a more solid and well-trafficked pipeline to get to the head coaching jobs. And I use the analogy earlier of me being a female in sports radio, which is obviously male-dominated. I know my boss would like to give more females opportunities, but you can't pull a young woman right out of college or pull a young woman off of her podcast that she's doing on YouTube every week and throw her into a position of network radio where you're speaking to thousands of people on hundreds of affiliates. It's you've got to have more training than that. You've got to have more reps. There's got to be more preparation. And that's very similar to what we're talking about with the NFL. And what I've said is that often, not always, but often, your head coaches come from coordinator positions. I mean, there are the rare hires from outside the NFL, like Cliff Kingsbury last year, but for the most part, we haven't seen a lot of college coaches jump directly to the NFL and succeed. And so many times you're pulling them from coordinators. You're pulling them from other staffs. I mean, even Joe Judge got hired as a special teams coordinator, pulled from the Patriots and hired by the Giants. So I would agree with that expansion of the Rooney Rule. If you're going to keep it and the NFL is committed to it, well, then you've got to expand it so that it includes some positions that are further down on the pipeline, because there's got to be more candidates available for head coaching jobs. If you don't have the minority candidates, the Rooney Rule is useless anyway. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence here on CBS Sports Radio. We'll continue to take your thoughts, A-Law Radio, or on our Facebook page. Coming up, we're going to do some QB news as we start to focus our lens. Oh my gosh, I'm such a weirdo. I talk with my hands, so even as I'm talking about focusing the lens, I'm holding up my eyepiece, my fake eyepiece to my eye and staring at Dave and Chris through it. Like, we need to focus our lens, but not on Dave and Chris. We need to focus our lens on Championship Sunday. If you could only see the way I talk with my hands, there are many demonstrative motions being made. One time before you guys got here, it was part of Ask Amy Anything. The previous producer team, they asked me a question of whether or not I could talk if I was sitting on my hands. It didn't last very long. I can't do it. It feels very awkward. It feels like I'm only talking out of one side of my mouth, or something weird like that. Like, I'm not making all the points that I need to make because I'm not talking with my hands. And generally, if I'm not talking with my hands, I'm playing with a Sharpie. Chris just nodded. The Sharpie goes with me, but also the Sharpie is for me to throw at people who cross me in my path. That's why you guys have a double pane glass protecting you from me.
I'm in a glass case of emotion.
No, you are in a... Wait, am I in the glass case or are you in the glass case? I think you guys are in the glass case, except I don't know how emotional you are. Maybe a little. I don't know. Maybe you just play it straight-laced because I'm the emotional one in here. Or because you're worried about getting pegged with this Sharpie. I don't even know how I got on that. How did I get on that tangent? Talking with my focusing my lens. See? So what happens with your spaghetti plate brain? My spaghetti plate brain. You pull one piece of spaghetti and all this other spaghetti comes falling off the plate. But it's not National Spaghetti Week. It's National Pizza Week. So we're going to do some QB news as we start to look ahead. We still have tonight's show going into Friday morning to look at the AFC and NFC championship games. But all the QBs, they were out and they were speaking and they were talking about what's to come. And you'll notice Aaron Rodgers is very blasé. I need him to be a little more excited. I feel like he's enjoying this whole I'm the grizzled veteran, I'm the oldest quarterback left in the playoffs bit, just a bit too much. He's too cool for school, to use an old phrase that we used to, actually, I think my mom used to use that. So we'll do some QB news, and we're still waiting on the Carlos Beltran mandate or not. I don't really know. You know what, guys? I did a CBS Sports Minute on the Mets' decision with Carlos Beltran that they're dragging out. And it dawned on me that when they used the minute a little bit later on this morning, it could be outdated. So then what? Whoopsie. Oh, well.
Why?
Well, because the Mets might have moved by then, but I doubt it. Did you see the story, the report out there? They're gauging Beltran. What does that even mean? What the heck does that mean? We're gauging him? Now,
for what?
Here's my only thing. And I said this about Antonio Brown when the Patriots brought him on board, though I'm not obviously comparing Carlos Beltran to AB. But Antonio Brown did not tell the Patriots what was coming down the pipeline. He knew there was going to be a civil suit filed against him for sexual assault. He knew there were going to be these skeletons in his closet that were going to pop out, and he did not tell the Patriots ahead of time. So he deceived them because he knew it was happening. If Carlos Beltran, now I generally see him as a guy of integrity. Of course, I did AJ Hinch too, but I'm a big fan of his leadership and I want him to get this opportunity. But if he knew this was coming, if he knew that there was a possibility that this sign-stealing, elaborate, scheming, escapading system could come back to bite him in the rear or could cast this shadow over the Mets, and he didn't tell them, that's an entirely different story.
But I didn't know.
No, Terry, we didn't expect that you would know. But if Carlos Beltran knew and didn't say anything, now I don't know that that's the case, but if he believed that this was an issue and it could pop up in the future and did not tell the Mets in the interview process, to me, that would be deceitful and that would be a problem. Otherwise, all the Mets need to do is make a statement. If they believe Carlos Beltran is their guy, issue a statement, get it over with, let people get mad about it, comment about it the way they will, and then it will die down. Because that's what happens in sports. That's what happens in the news. The cycle spins so furiously that people get bored or they get distracted by some other shiny object and they move on. The Mets are dragging it out. Exactly. Shiny objects attract people. The Mets are dragging it out, which is why the conversation is perpetuated. Issue your statement. Stand by your man. Stand by your man. Issue your statement. Get it over with. And then let it die down. And you've got months before this team. Well, not months before. They get to spring training pretty quick. Don't pitchers and catchers report in about a month or so? You just need to pull off the Band-Aid. Just rip it off. Get it over with, Mets. Stop being so wishy-washy. Grow a backbone. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Oh, and the reason I say that is because baseball's not going to penalize Beltran. So why are you? The only reason that you would need to make a change is because you fear public backlash. It will go away. There will be bigger stories, probably soon.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
You're the colonel. You're going to command your troops tonight. You understand?
Snap the deck. Fade right side of the end zone. Touchdown! It's a touchdown!
Mariota, play fake, looking, floats it downfield. Touchdown! Tight!
Fires for the end zone. Touchdown! Ben with a terrific job to feed that ball through heavy traffic.
Brees from the shotgun has time. Guns it down the middle, and he's going to score!
Goff stands in. He whips it to the two. Touchdown!
There's a wobbly pass down the middle. It's a backpedaling, falling down chest high, heavily covered touchdown catch.
Hey, baby, what a throw by Stafford!
It's time for QB News on After Hours.
Four accomplished quarterbacks, but in different stages of their playoff experience, to be sure, as we head to Championship Sunday. And it's kind of cool that both of these games, AFC and NFC, are rematches of games we saw earlier in the year. Will they turn out differently? Well, the Chiefs are certainly hoping so, because they lost to the Tennessee Titans 35-32 in what was a wild finish. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence here on CBS Sports Radio. Ryan Tannehill has had the highest QB rating in the NFL this season. However, he's not even passed for 200 yards in the first two victories in the postseason. But the offense is centered around Derrick Henry, and that's been a major difference. How did it come together?
Belief in one another, first and foremost, that we've been through a lot this season, ups and downs, and won games in a lot of different ways. So different guys have stepped up throughout the season and made those plays for us to win. And with that comes a lot of confidence in one another that doesn't really matter what play call comes in, that we'll find a way to make it work.
The game that they played, it was early November. It was a touchdown pass from Ryan Tannehill to Adam Humphries with 23 seconds left. And then Tennessee blocked a last-second field goal by the Chiefs to preserve their win. Again, 35-32. So for those of you who believe that the Chiefs can't keep, or the Titans can't keep up with the Chiefs in this high-flying offense, I mean, they put up 35 points the last time they played them. And certainly you would think there'd be confidence for Tannehill and the Chiefs because they already beat this team.
Definitely gave us some confidence, you know. Coming off of a loss at Carolina, then, you know, coming back home and being able to beat a really good team late in the fourth quarter, came back a couple times in that game. Just gave us a lot of confidence that just kept growing as the season went on.
Titans need all of that confidence as they head into Arrowhead Stadium and take on a red-hot Chiefs team that has won now seven games in a row, including the unbelievable rally against the Houston Texans. And I think it helps, too, that you're talking about a group of Chiefs that have gone through some playoff games like the one against the Texans, in which they had their backs to the wall and had to fight out of it.
I want them to be real about what happened. I mean, we lost the game. So, I mean, and then why? Let's figure that part out. And then work to fix that problem. And so we do that every week. And no different than when we played Tennessee before. They beat us. I mean, they beat us in three different phases. So, I mean, you know, they're a good football team, and we've got to do a better job than that.
The biggest thing is just dealing with adversity. When you're playing in these type of football games, not everything's going to be great. You're not going to get everything the exact way you want it, but you have to find a way to win, find a way to fight. And I felt like this last game definitely prepared us with being down 24-0 of just finding a way to come out on top in the end.
Nice to include Andy Reid, but I mostly was interested in what Patrick Mahomes had to say. So, yes, that is the type of adversity that once you conquer it, you also have incredible confidence. But how did they do it? How did Mahomes rally the troops last week?
We all kind of communicate with each other. I think that's the great thing about this team is that I'm not the only leader on this team. There's leaders all across the board, every single position group, all around the team, offense, defense, and special teams. But what I rely on is just going out there and competing. No matter what the score is, winning or losing, I'm going to give my best effort on every single play.
We definitely saw that. He was so fired up. He was not only yelling encouragement to his teammates when they were still down, but then he was celebrating wildly, even with the first touchdown they scored. You could almost feel it. It was some kind of wonderful to watch. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. The AFC Championship coming up at Arrowhead for the second straight year. Chiefs have never been in the championship game 2 years in a row, and this time they get to host it. That's followed by what should be a ratings bonanza. The Packers at the San Francisco 49ers, also a rematch, and it was a blowout the first time these two teams met. And the fact that this game is at home, those factors coupled together, Jimmy Garoppolo says the locker room is loose.
You feel it in there. It's definitely a loose atmosphere, but, I mean, that's kind of how it's been all year. You know, just guys are loose, but they're locked in at the same time, and it's a unique combination, but you know, we have the guys that are able to do it.
Garoppolo just coming off his first career playoff start, while Aaron Rodgers has a ton of experience and a Super Bowl ring in these situations. And certainly quarterback to quarterback, Garoppolo knows that.
The way he processes information quickly, the way he could scramble and make throws on the run, he really does it. He has a little bit of everything. And I mean, just watching his film, I love watching it to, you know, prepare and also to learn from him and, you know, see things that he does. And it's just, it's impressive, man. I mean, he does it at such a high level for such a long time now. It's just, you know, you got to tip your hat to him.
Even as poised and as calm as Jimmy Garoppolo is, and he talks about the team being loose, you got to compare that to what we're about to hear from Aaron Rodgers, who seems blasé about the fact that they're in the NFC Championship game again. Now, I get it. When he gets on the field, he shows some fire. But it's pretty obvious to me that he hates talking to the media now. It's more because he's older and he embraces that role as the oldest quarterback remaining. He's the gray beard. I get it. But it's almost like he could potentially be holding a grudge over what happened with Mike McCarthy's split. But yeah, you're not going to get a whole lot of enthusiasm from Aaron.
I think there's an appreciation that there's only four teams left. I mean, that's pretty cool to think about. There's 28 teams on vacation right now, and we're still going. But I try and keep the weeks as normal as possible. We haven't ever had one of these at home, so that's the only thing that's kind of normal. We know we're traveling on Saturday.
Now, on top of that, he was asked about the excitement and the feeling heading into the title game.
I don't think there's a whole lot of, over sentiment going on right now. It's
over sentiment.
The key is to keep the week as normal as possible, I think. And it feels like
it's
a Wednesday.
Not even a word.
We had a kind of a walkthrough tempo, and that's what it feels like.
I mean, you know, maybe you could fake it a little, fake the excitement. Sometimes when I'm here in the studio, I don't have a whole lot of over sentiment. Well, I don't feel a lot of over sentiment because I'm tired, or sometimes we don't want to go to work. But I fake it. Maybe he could fake his excitement about, I mean, do you really need to fake excitement about an NFC Championship game? And yet, ho-hum, there's not a whole lot of over sentiment. It's just an NFC Championship game. I just really quick want to make this transition while we have the opportunity, because I feel like this is also a major story in the NFL. In the NFC North, the Vikings did not survive to this round, and they also lost their offensive coordinator. But it was interesting to hear what Mike Zimmer had to say about his quarterback this season, about Kirk Cousins taking major steps forward.
I think Kirk played a lot better this year than he did the year before. I think. Obviously, the scheme helped him quite a bit. I think this may have been his best year that he's played in the NFL.
Wow. I mean, Mike Zimmer doesn't hand out praise like candy bars at Halloween, but that certainly is high praise for Kirk Cousins. And now we know that there's going to be a new offensive coordinator, and it's a new voice in Cousins' head, but they definitely have a prototype for what they want to do. Dalvin Cook needs to be the feature back, and then that gives the passing game the space and the room to operate.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
I've been fortunate enough to have the opportunity to play this game since I was in fourth grade, and I've been with the Panthers now for 8 years, and it's never the right time to step away, but now is the right time for me, and it's a tough decision. I've thought about it a lot, and I think now is the right chance for me to move on.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Star Panthers linebacker Luke Kuechly announcing his abrupt retirement. Very emotional in making his announcement. He did not reveal the specific reasons, though he did reference body and mind and how difficult it was to make this choice, that he wanted to continue playing, but that he knew it wasn't the right decision for him. A lot of people have pointed back to the concussions that he had. He suffered multiple concussions over his time in the NFL, and in fact, from years 2015 through 2017, missed 7 games because of those concussions. So we're not talking about a one-time thing. We're talking about the dangerous area where now we know the research points to multiple concussions increasing your risk of long-term health problems down the road of a variety. And so Luke Kuechly chooses to walk away. Though, again, he did not specify concussions, but he did talk about going through this kind of struggle of wanting to continue playing, but knowing it's not the right thing. It was interesting to hear then from another very high-profile athlete who abruptly retired and did so even as he had missed multiple time in his own sport for concussions and admits that it was very scary for him. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Dale Earnhardt Jr. I guess a lot of people know who Dale Jr. is, but I should at least include his last name. Dale Earnhardt Jr. was at the NASCAR Hall of Fame on Wednesday, and he was asked by a group of reporters his reaction to Luke Kuechly stepping away from football.
Relief. You know, I think that my feeling for Luke is relief. He had an amazing career, and obviously I'm sure he would have loved to play longer, but he's made some amazing, great choices for himself and for his family and his future, and he feels strongly about that decision, and all you can do is support that. He's gave everything he could to, when he was out on the field, for the better of his team. If you listen to the comments from his coaches and the players that he's played with, you understand exactly what kind of person he was and how supportive and how much of a teammate he was to the guys he played with. That speaks volumes. And you just have to support his decision. You have to want to support his decision and excited about his future, you know, and what he might do next and the next chapter for him. It's going to be positive and successful, you'd imagine, because of the type of person he is. And, I think that, you know, when you get in those type of situations that he was in, you have to make some difficult choices. And I think he made the right one. And I feel, I feel like that a lot of people can learn from that. You know, I think he set an amazing example for a lot of young folks to follow.
So it's interesting that the first word Dale Earnhardt Jr. uses is relief. That his reaction to Luke Kuechly stepping away from football when he did, what is he, 3 months shy of his 29th birthday, is relief. And this is coming from a guy who now has been out of his sport, NASCAR, for a couple of years and recognizes how much more clearly he's thinking, recognizes that he is out of danger, recognizes the damage that he was doing to his brain, to his head, and that it wasn't worth it to continue. But he's on the other side of it, where a lot of the emotion about missing the sport and leaving something that he loved and also something that he experienced with his dad, who, of course, passed away, the emotions for him have since died down. You can imagine that. They're still very sharp and vivid for Luke Kuechly. but eventually he'll get to that point as well. And same thing for Andrew Luck. That was kind of interesting to hear. Was it Ryan? No, not Ryan Pace. Who's the general manager in Indianapolis? Why is his name eluding me? Yes, Chris Ballard. Thank you. Who recently said that Andrew Luck does not want to return to football, that he's not pining away for football. But I think in the immediacy of the emotion, anything that's been so ingrained and part of a fabric of our lives for so long as it is for these athletes, and I mean, or any of us who've done something for a really long time, there is an adjustment period, and there's almost like this period where you go through where you have to kind of let that part of you die. It's the same thing with relationships. And once you get away from the emotion of it, you can think a little more clearly. And Dale Earnhardt Jr. is there now. Luke Kuechly and others who step away from the game, even when they may still want to play, they will eventually get to that point, you hope. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. Our toll-free line is 855-212-4227. It's sponsored by Geico. Whether you own or rent, Geico makes it easy to bundle home and auto insurance. Having a home is hard work, so get a quote at geico.com. Let's go back to our phones here, 855-212-4227. Darnell is listening in Pennsylvania. Welcome to After Hours. Darnell. Gary is listening in Missouri. Gary, welcome to After Hours.
Good morning, Amy.
Good morning.
The Rooney Rule, I think, is ridiculous and, matter of fact, unnecessary. Any organization that does not hire the best candidate available, regardless of color, is just doing a disservice to their own organization.
Okay, so you think that it should be completely done away with and there should be absolutely no stipulations about who interviews and who has the opportunity to interview.
That is exactly right. I mean, we're going to lose Eric Bieniemy, and that's going to be a big loss to our team because he is going to become a head coach.
Mm-hmm.
We lost two of them already, and we're going to lose a third one. So the rule is just unnecessary, in my opinion.
Okay. What about at the general manager and front office level? Do you believe it's necessary there?
That applies for every job in this country. You should hire the best candidate available. You know, that you're trying to make your organization more efficient, more effective, a winning culture, whatever you want to say it, but it just needed to do the right thing.
Well, I agree with you, Gary, but not everyone does the right thing. I mean, I would love to tell you that eventually all racism will be abolished and all prejudice. It doesn't even have to be flat out racism. It can just be prejudice based on anything, not necessarily color. I'd love to tell you we live in a world where that's not going to be, it's not going to be a problem. Let's say we go 5 years down the road and, oh, we've advanced so much. But as until Jesus comes back, there will always be racism and there will always be prejudice. And so we're not talking about a level playing field. So while I do understand what you're saying, and I agree with you that the best candidate should be hired, and that's what the NFL is saying too. They're not mandating that coaches are hired for a certain percentage that are minorities. They're not saying that. What they're saying is we want there to be equal opportunities for minorities to interview. And I don't see any harm in that. Even if you don't agree that it needs to be a rule, there's nothing negative that can come out of it, right?
I don't see any good in it. You're not doing an organization a service. You're not just doing it. I don't care what position.
Forget the organization. How about the minorities who would like to have interviews? Screw the organization. They're the ones that are making money hand over fist and are able to hire whoever they want. How about thinking about the minorities who maybe wouldn't have had the opportunity to interview if this rule didn't exist?
They're not going to get the job if that's the feeling prevalent, you know. If they're a qualified candidate, they'll get the job.
No, that's not... Oh, Gary, I appreciate your altruism, but trust me, as a female who works in sports radio, how many times I was passed over for jobs, even though I was more qualified for the position and better at the job? That's not... Again, I understand that maybe that's how you feel, but that's not reality. Reality is that sometimes prejudice and racism enter into the equation. And so that's what the NFL, and by the NFL, I mean the owners, that's what they're trying to do. They're trying to open up more opportunities to interview. And this is also reality that a lot of times, maybe you weren't considering a candidate until they interview well and they knock it out of the park. And then it forces you to maybe change your opinion. So, for instance, I'll just give you a Browns example. they interviewed Robert Saleh after this last 49ers win, even though they had Kevin Stefanski that they really liked, and Saleh forced them to kind of consider maybe we should go a different direction than what we were anticipating. So sometimes just the opportunity to interview can make a huge difference.
I just disagree, but that's fine. That's why there's always two sides to an argument.
Absolutely, and I appreciate having the opportunity to discuss these things because life would be boring if we all had the same opinions.
Amen to that.
Thanks, Gary. Have a great day.
Go Chiefs.
Let's talk to Brian in Louisiana. Brian, you got about 90 seconds. Go ahead.
Oh, hey, Amy. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
I just want to say thank you for everything you do. Thank you for sports radio.
Oh,
thank you for the American citizens out there trying to do the best for our country and everything. I love America. LSU won. I'm from Lafayette, Louisiana. LSU won fair and square.
Yes.
The race card. I'm not playing the race card. The MLB is a disgrace right now with what happened. I'm stating my points.
Oh,
and then,
okay. Got it.
You can retort.
Fine. I got you. I'm listening.
I want the best for Green Bay. Of course, San Francisco is going to be there. Amy, I love you. So,
okay. Yeah. I love you too, Brian. Have a great day.
Bye.
he wanted the chance to express himself. So, you know, we give you a forum where you can do you and be you, baby. Okay, real quick, as we hit the top of the hour, I want to make sure I pass these along. Playoff ratings for the divisional round of the NFL. OMG. An average of 33.2 million viewers, up 2% from a year ago. And we know that the wild card round was up 7% from a year ago. Right now, 8 playoff games. We've seen 8 so far, averaging 32 million viewers per. So that means even the crappy ones that were blowouts, they're averaging 32 million. That's a 5% increase from this time last year. Specific games from divisional weekend, no surprise, Seahawks-Packers, 38.2 million viewers. By far the most watched game of the weekend. Vikings 49ers second place with 33.4 million viewers. So think about now we've got Niners and Packers on the field together. Two major draws. I wouldn't be surprised if the NFC Championship broke 50 million viewers. It did a year ago in the AFC. And then we'll see what happens with Arrowhead and the Chiefs and the Titans. It's going to be awesome weekend. We've got more time to talk about it coming up tonight. Plus, Jeff Blum, former Astro and TV analyst, will join us. It's After Hours, CBS Sports Radio. Boom!
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.